Moncrief on News Talk.
Time to bring us some stories from other parts of the world, the kind of places that we often don't talk about so much. Jonathan de Burka Butler is our guide once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
How are you getting on, Sean?
Right, South Africa we're going to go to first. And the so-called pig farm murders, the accused there have been set free, or the convicted have been set free.
Yeah, well, one of the accused has been sent free, so a bit of has been set free. So a bit of context here. You remember these pig farm murders from August of last year, August 2024. Before they happened. This was when two women, Maria Makato and Lucia in Love, were killed when they wandered onto a pig farm in the northern province there of Limpopo, right? And they were looking for food, allegedly, and what happened was they were killed. So the trial for that started last week. And straight away, there was a bit of consternation at it because one of the accused has been set free. The reason for that is because he's turned state witness, right? So this is a man by the name of Adrian De Wet. He is in his 30s, I think. He was a farmhand, and he has given his story and basically said that he was told or compelled to do this, right? So he was under duress when he was the person who got rid of the bodies. They were put into a pigsty to try and get rid of the evidence, okay, after they were shot. So it seems that what's happened here is that the prosecution and the lawyers for De Wet have come up with a deal, basically, okay, we'll let him go free because he's at the lower end of the scale, shall we say, on what the prosecution want, as long as we get witness testimony from him.
Yeah.
So he walked.
Yeah.
The prosecution dropped all the charges from him and he walked out of the court last week. Now, he's in a witness protection program, as you can imagine, and he will be for the duration of the trial. But when the trial reconvenes on October the 6th, he'll be there, not as an accused person, but as a witness for the state.
And previously, the charges against him was that he took part in this murder.
Yeah, he took part in this murder, so that he was at least party to the disposal of the bodies.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what he's saying is that the main protagonist here was the farm owner, a man by the name of Zacharia Olivier, 60-year-old, and he was the one who shot the two women. And then that there was another farmhand who, again, was older, in his 50s, who put the pressure on De Wet to get rid of the bodies, or helped to get rid of the bodies.
Yeah, and people are annoyed by this, are they, or critical of this decision?
Yeah, it's interesting on a lot of levels. So the families were unhappy about it. Now, I don't know how much they knew about this, to be honest with you, but they came out and made statements outside the court, I believe. We're very upset about justice not being done here, or being fully done. But there's a part of me the way I sort of see it is that obviously the prosecution had to come up with this deal because maybe they just didn't have enough to get the main protagonist.
Or they might have three accused all contradicting each other.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So it remains to be seen how this will go, but you can be sure that this will be followed right around the world, certainly in South Africa, but right around the world for the duration of the trial.
Yeah, indeed. Right, Japan we're going to go to next, where the population has fallen by 1 million people in 1 year.
Yeah, but
hasn't Japan always had this difficulty for a long time?
Yeah, great point. So this is why I'm bringing this story here, because this kind of fascinates me about Japan. This is the 16th straight year that they've had a population decline, right? And it's actually going so badly that they reckon by 2070... the population will fall from what it is now, nearly just over 124 million, to 87 million, right? That's in 50 years, less than 50 years, it'll go to 87 million. And that's because the replacement rate just isn't there, right? So the average replacement rate is supposed to be 2.2 per female, right, around the world. Sorry, that is the average rate. And in order to replace the population, you need 2.1.
Okay? Yeah.
But in Japan, it's 1.2.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So they're just not having enough children. And last year, the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications, the data came through and they've reported that there was just over 686,000 births and there were nearly 1.6 million deaths. So it's not quite 1 million, but it's well over the 900,000 mark. So very worrying.
And what is the reason why they're birth rate is so low?
So there's so many different reasons, right? So, I mean, there's the high living costs, which are world famous, of course, in Tokyo. The fact that people don't want to live outside cities because that's where their careers are happening. And just women having more autonomy. And then when they have children, they only have one or two because there's pressure on parents to invest in education, and they want those children to do very well in their lives, so they focus on those one or two. Same the world over, really. It's the cost of living, finding a house to have these children. It's just not something that's expected in this day and age in Japan anymore.
Yeah, and would immigration be any kind of at least partial response to this situation?
Yeah, so the immigration laws have been loosened in the last number of years. I was actually looking back at some stories that we did, and there was one from 2019 that we did, and the headline in it was that 1 million immigrants had come to Japan for the first time ever, right?
Yeah.
Now, that has gone up to 3.6 million as of the 1st of January this year. But so they are encouraging foreigners to come, you know, to make up the difference, because like 4 out of every 10 person in Japan is over 65.
Yeah. Right?
So they have a real problem with the workforce there. But that in itself is causing problems, right? You know, whatever the equivalent of Japan is full, or the Japan is full brigade. There is a political party there, I forget the name of it now, that is not happy about all these foreigners coming in and taking their jobs, even though they really need them to pay the taxes that pay for the 4 or 3 in 10 people that are over 65.
Yeah, even though it seems as, so far that's, 3% of the population?
Yeah.
Probably less than that.
Yeah, it's very small still.
Yeah. Right, Spain we're going to go to next, where at least in one town they've, now if they banned a Muslim religious festival or festivals.
Yeah, so what they're doing here is, I think is going on here is a kind of a preemptive strike, shall we say, right, by this particular authority. So this is local authority, or the local authority in the town of Jamila, right? So that's in Murcia. It's got a population of about, with Murcia being in the southeast of the country. And that's relatively important, because that would have been a Muslim stronghold for about 500 years in the Middle Ages. But anyway, it's not anymore. But there are about 7,500 Muslims living there, out of a population of 26,000, as I said. So it's a significant amount, right? But what the local authority there, which is run by the People's Party, which would be a conservative party there, have done is they have banned Muslims from using public facilities such as civic centres and gyms to celebrate religious festivals such as Eid al-Fitr, which is the one at the end of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha as well, which is different altogether. So that's what they've done. They've put it through the local authority. The Vox Party decided not to vote, but thereby giving a sort of a tacit support. And the left and liberals didn't have enough to stop it. So it's now gone through. Will it hold? It's remains to be seen, because there is constitutional considerations to be brought into consideration.
Yeah. And now, why have they done it? If you know, Muslims have always been a significant minority in this town, what's the big deal with letting them use public buildings for religious festivals?
Well, they're saying that that this these facilities can only be used or can't be used for social activities that are alien to our identity unless organised by the local authority. So that's what they're saying there.
Okay. Okay, so is it just in this town, this kind of...
At the moment. This is the first place that this has happened.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, there's, you know, Article 16 of the Spanish Constitution protects freedom of ideology, religion, and so on and so forth. So all it takes is the organisation representing Muslims in Spain to take a case, and it will probably win. But what this does is sends a signal to the voters of the People's Party, look, we're doing what we said we'd do.
Yeah.
This is a success here. You know, we've got the power to stop all this, so on.
Right, Pakistan we're going to go to next, where they found the body of a man, and from what I understand, it's perfectly preserved. This man was missing for 28 years.
Yeah, this was a gentleman, Nazaruddin. He was missing for 28 years, and he's been found. He was found by a shepherd in a melting glacier. This was up in the north of the country, right? So up in Kohistan, up near all those stands up there, right? So not far from Afghanistan and the like. Very mountainous region, and obviously would be quite icy and snowy and the rest of it. And this shepherd came across him, and as you said, he was perfectly preserved. They even found his ID card. So that was the reason they knew who he was.
Handy, yes.
Yeah, they knew who he was, and they could go back to his family and say, look, we found your relative. The backstory is very interesting, and they were able to sort of fill it in when they went back to the village that he came from. So he had apparently been banished along with his brother from this village because of a family feud. So he left behind a wife and two children. The brother and himself were off on their horses, and he wandered off into a cave. The brother went looking for him, couldn't find him, sent search parties, still couldn't find him. And now he's turned up 28 years later.
Okay, have they been able to figure out when he went into the cave? Did he fall into something? Or
we think that he fell down some sort of a crevice, obviously knocked himself out or something, and then snow came and covered him. And that's how the body was preserved.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Right, the United States, we're going to go to finally, and Florida specifically. This is a story. You do read these stories every now and again, like that people with no qualifications suddenly just, I know, I fancy being a dentist or whatever. In this case, it was a nurse.
Yes, this is a woman by the name of Autumn Bardisa, 29-year-old. It's a very strange story. She apparently came across a license, right, that had the same first name, but not the same surname, right? And she was able to go and when she showed her credentials to the hospital she was working at, she was able to say, oh, I just got married and I haven't changed my surname yet, hence the discrepancy. And they obviously said, oh, okay, that's fine. Come in and work anyway, get your marriage certificate and we'll sort you out. And you'll get yourself sorted out, sorry. And that happened from June of 2024 to January of this year. And apparently she attended 4,486 patients in that period before it came to the attention that she was bogus and she wasn't actually a qualified nurse.
Did she have any qualifications at all, this woman?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she did. Either she had a license before, so this is where I'm a bit confused, to be honest. Either she had a license before and that license lapsed, or she never had a license at all and she used this other woman by the name of Autumn, who also worked at a healthcare facility run by this organization, but in another city, okay? And she took her identity and passed herself off as this other Autumn. There's probably not that many of them around, but you wouldn't know in Florida. So I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, she's been arrested now. And when she was arrested, this is the strange part, even though she hadn't been working there for quite a few months, she was in scrubs.
Very strange.
Whether she's playing sort of a nurse fantasy or something, I'm not 100% sure.
And the actual, her employers or her former employers, I assume, might be open to a massive amount of class action lawsuits.
I would imagine so. Now, the police have opened up a dedicated email address for people who believe they've been treated by her to see if they're okay and do they need to come back in for any checkups.
Yeah.
But that was one thing that came to mind. You know, will they be open to these actions taken against them?
Right. So what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah. So coming up over the next few days, obviously that summit in Alaska is the big news on Friday. On the same day, the Premier League begins. So that'll be great for people right across the country. And on Sunday, very interesting, there's going to be elections in Bolivia and you can expect trouble at that. Evo Morales is not running. Neither is his former colleague and now sworn enemy, Luis Arce, who's the current president. So it's a bit shambolic there at the minute, and it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Okay, we shall keep an eye on that. Jonathan De Burka Butler, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.